The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life, a life savings company for your journey to and through retirement.
I said that we had cookery advice. We have it from Jerry Devlin, who is from the Dublin Cookery School. You've been having a busy summer, Jerry.
We've had a very busy summer, and even busier September. So kids all summer, which is fantastic. 24 kids a week for 15 weeks. So
is that not very stressful? Kids near hot ovens, hot oil and sharp knives. Is that not, that must be a lot of pressure.
It's something we've done in the school for a long time, and it's just incredible. They are... When they're not afraid, they go for it. Okay, a bit chaotic, but it's amazing. They take the thing so quickly, no hesitation. We show them what to do. They do it, 24 of them. They each have their own station, 12 stations working together. It's amazing what they can do. Incredible.
So you've obviously now spent a number of years looking at student home cooks coming into you. What are the patterns that you see that people get wrong when it comes to cooking?
Well, it's very apparent, and obviously there's lots of differences and lots of different levels out there. A big thing that we see when folks come into the kitchen is the simple things like the heat control, how we deal with a pan, what is too hot and what is too cold. It's a classic, you'll see it, the pan goes on, the oil goes in, and then we're waiting a couple of minutes and then something goes into the pan and then we're wondering why the onions are burning around the edges and there's bitter smells in the air. So
using the smoke detector as a way to tell that the pan's ready isn't a good idea.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, and getting feedback from the family usually when something's not up to scratch. That certainly happens in my house. So it's a classic. It's a classic. And what we do, it's all about controlling. You control the heat, you can control your food. So when you have your pan on, you get it up to a nice heat. When you're ready to start cooking, then the oil goes in and then you're cooking straight away. So, get your prep done, stay on top of things.
Where do you stand on oiling the pan or oiling the food?
That's a really good one. Two different schools of thought. If you oil, it's great. You can cut down the amount of oil you use by oiling the food, like oiling a piece of chicken, oiling a piece of chicken supreme, for example. You need to control that heat really, really well, though. So if the heat gets out of control, there's not enough oil. Oil is that kind of lubrication. It's a way of transferring flavor, actually, But you have to be very careful. So like a griddle pan would be a classic example. You'll oil your steak, you'll put it on a nice smoking griddle and off you go from there. But you'll get those black char marks and those black char marks because, the griddle pan is hot. So with a pan, be very careful with the heat.
What about the advice? Are there any good quick hacks to increase the flavour in dishes to make things better without spending 3 days making demi-glazes?
Yeah, absolutely. We're not going to be making too many beef stocks at home and things like that. So it's interesting because we've just had 22 people spend the last 4 weeks with us. We bring them on a journey. And the day one, we talk about what seasoning. Everybody's, it's salt and it's pepper. And it's not, pepper's a spice. But lots of spices, they're fantastic. But they'll bring food in a different direction. So if we really want seasoning, that means enhancing flavor. So we use our salts, our sugars and our acids. That's that bit of lemon juice, So by using a combination of those three, we're trying to enhance the flavor. Imagine a piece of apple. How do we make that apple as good as that apple can be? So that little touch of salt, that little bit of sugar and a little tiny touch of lemon juice. But the tricky thing is if we taste the lemon juice, we've over-seasoned. Okay. Now, it still could be delicious, but if you're chasing your couple of Michelin stars, that's what those guys are up to, that perfect balance. But always bear that in mind, less is more.
Text asking, how can I make boring chicken breasts exciting?
Oh, yeah, very good. Well, we love to, for example, a little bit of marination beforehand. Touch of garlic, touch of lemon juice, touch of oil. Just let it sit there for a few minutes. And it's the same thing. If you have a griddle, I'd really advise everybody get a little griddle pan for themselves at home. Little small one, doesn't take up any space. Get it to a nice medium heat and pop those little chicken breasts on that griddle pan. And a couple of minutes either side. We love to overcook chicken. I know we all have to be careful, absolutely. But chicken's meant to be lovely and succulent and tasty rather than dry and cardboardy.
You see, every time anybody has a chef on any kind of TV program, they always say, what's the way to cook a good steak? To which the answer is, any way you like, it's not that tricky. Yeah. Chicken breasts are a nightmare. They go from poisonous to awful in a very narrow window.
Yeah. It's definitely not easy. There's a way of, like, if you're having guests over, we do this thing called reverse searing. So you get your oven on a low heat. You put your chicken supremes are great. Try get a chicken supreme. It has the skin, it has the wing bone on. It's much easier to cook as well because that bone kind of regulates the heat a little bit. put it in the oven at 110 degrees, 120 degrees for about 45 minutes. Okay, you want to get that core temperature. If you have a little thermometer at home, which is again, €5 down the shop, get it to about 72 degrees. Okay, we want to get it to 75 degrees, but 72 degrees from the oven. So when your guests are there, you just pop them in the pan and just get the colour. You know, so that's your lovely succulent chicken inside.
When would you use olive oil for cooking acetecs?
Well, it's expensive, and so that's why you don't see it in too many kitchens on pans. So we usually use olive oil to finish dishes, okay? But saying that, you can use a pomace olive oil, lovely with fishes, lovely with something light. If you're just doing some aubergines or some tomatoes and things like that, it really adds to the flavour. Again, you don't want to bring that pan too hot. You don't want to kill the oil.
Now, this is going to be a high-risk, controversial one. With so many varieties of potatoes, what's the best potato to make mash?
Oh, that's a good one.
You see, there's a lot of regional loyalty here.
Yes.
A lot of regional loyalty here. If you say records, everybody where? Wexford and that? And
yes.
That they'll all agree with you. Everybody in Louth will hate you because you didn't mention the Kerris Pink.
Yes. And most people will see roosters these days. Golden Wonders are great if you get your hands on it. But the issue these days is trying to get your hands on different types of potatoes, I find. So most of us are going into the shops. We have probably a variety, three or four, something like that we're looking in the supermarket. What we're really trying to encourage in the school is the fishmonger, is the butcher, is the veg shop. I know it's really hard to get to. It's not an everyday thing. But if we can get to it once a week, even once every 2 weeks, it's amazing the different varieties of vegetables even that we'll have a look. And having a chat with these people, because they know the growers, they know the business. So they'll introduce you to new things that you're not used to cooking with. Potatoes being one, different varieties of potatoes, but lots of other vegetables. And it can kind of just refresh you.
Put your money where your mouth is, Jerry. Best variety of spud for mash.
I think I'd nearly always go for Kerpink, personally.
Oh, I knew I liked you the minute you walked in. Jerry Devlin, thank you very much. That is Jerry Devlin from the Dublin Cookery School.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.